The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
To go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but
we
because they are hard.
Start. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting to 7 continents. Consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome to the Monday Space Show program. I apologize for the late start, but we've had a phone line glitch with two of our planned guests, and hopefully they can call in on the toll-free line. And I do apologize about that. But this is our Monday program, and great to be here. And we have a 60-minute discussion today. So for those of you who will want to ask questions or get emails in, please keep in mind that we're on the 60-minute format. So our toll-free line is 1-866-687-7223. I have suggested that our other two guests use it, and hopefully they will be able to. So if it is busy, please just be patient or use email today, drspace, D-R-S-P-A-C-E, at thespaceshow.com. That is our website, thespaceshow.com. So make sure you check the newsletter and the upcoming shows on the right-hand menu side. And yes, we know the time is now Pacific Daylight Time. That's a glitch in the Drupal system that has to be fixed because it doesn't convert time automatically and it has to be changed manually back to PDT. So we do know that that's a problem there, but just ignore that. But it is Pacific time and it is daylight time. Everything we do is archived on our show, and you can listen right off of our website, or you can easily download the program. Our Space Show store is up in the upper menu bar on the left side, so do check it out. Plus, there are a lot of other links and the other areas of interest that you will see in that menu bar. And then, of course, because we are a 501c3 nonprofit with OneGiantLeapFoundation.org, we exist because many of you do support us and contribute to us, and we thank you for that support. Remember, if you are a federal U.S. taxpayer, you do get a tax deduction for your gift. And if you are also California taxpayer, then you get a deduction as well, as we're a California public benefit corporation. We have a lot of other new features on our website, including listener voices and the upcoming shows, the recent shows. So do check it out, explore it, and let us know what you think. And remember, the blog is integrated into the program, so you can comment while the show is going on or even before the show once it's listed in upcoming events on the right sidebar. So please post away. We want your comments, and we look forward to hearing from them, from you. If you post during the live show, I'll get the comments and can read them on air as emails, for the guest. So please don't forget that. So we were to have three guests on today, but because of a phone line glitch, we have Chris Atherton from Liverpool. Everybody knows Liverpool, England, on the program with us. And our topic for the day is the Northern Space Consortium, and we're going to learn about that and a lot more. But Chris has been involved in the space world for quite a while. In 2007, he got his degree it was an honors degree as well, in computer networks and security. And then he went into the IT industry. And then in 2012, he started to make the switch over to the space sector. To make a long story short, because his bio is on the website, he noticed that there wasn't much of a space industry in the northern part of England. And he wondered why. And he set out to bring that space industry into northern part of England. Again, he's headquartered out of Liverpool. And it's a big industry, and you know, the consortium's aim is to capture a share of that predicted growth, bringing jobs, opportunity, and innovation to north of England, North Wales, Northern Ireland, and Scotland. And that's what the Northern Consortium is all about. So I'm sorry that we could not get the phone line corrected for Art Dula and Buckner Hightower to join us. They are his sponsors. And we will ask Chris to talk about their sponsorship as well. But Chris, welcome to the Space Show. And why don't you give us sort of the beginnings, the overview of what the Northern Consortium is and why you formed it?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you very much for having me on the show. It's an absolute pleasure. But yeah, the Northern Space Consortium, as you quite rightly said, it started essentially as probably halfway through last year. The UK Space Agency held the national conference in Liverpool for the first time, and it was the largest conference that they'd had in the UK to that point for the space industry. And as it was hosted in my home city, I met up with a few other industries, or rather companies, who were also interested in growing the space sector in the Northwest and the north of England as a whole. And we decided to get together and start working on the Northern Space Consortium, primarily, as you say, to try and bring jobs and opportunities to the north of England. Just to give you an idea, the UK government believes that by 2030, the global industry is going to be worth around £400 billion, pounds. And in order to grow the industry to a significant level, they want to capture at least 10% of the global industry by 2030. So that's a £40 billion opportunity that's sat there waiting for people to take advantage of. Due to the current growth levels, which I think in the UK we're about 300 or so million, I think. So it's around 6%. Billion. 6% of the global industry.
Where is this industry now located in England? Is it all in the London area, or where is it?
More or less, yeah. So the vast majority of the turnover in the UK industry is based in the southeast and in London. The rest of the UK then makes up a very small proportion of that. The northwest only accounts for about 0.03% of the current UK turnover. So it's around £4 million compared to the close to 12 million. Sorry, not 12 million, 12 billion, I should say, that the industry currently generates in the UK.
How do you consider the Isle of Man? Is that part of England or is that separate?
That's a very good question. Technically, the Isle of Man isn't part of England. Or the United Kingdom. It's what's known as a crown. I believe it's a crown dependency, but I could be wrong. So it's part of the UK, but it's not. It's a bit of a difficult way to describe it. But in a way, the Isle of Man is quite an interesting place for the space industry because it's got quite a significant amount of businesses that are based there that have the ability to have special tax exemptions and things like that, which other industries in the rest of the UK wouldn't be able to take advantage of. And I believe from my own experience, I think that's the best way to describe it.
Can you, for Northern England and the Liverpool area, for your Northern Space Consortium, can you get those same kinds of tax breaks for your geographical region as the Isle of Man, or that's not possible?
I don't believe that is possible, but there are other tax breaks which we can take advantage of. So, for example, in Liverpool, there are two or three development areas because it's previously the city used to be quite deprived. It's had a massive regeneration over the years, the same with Manchester, which is only 35 miles away. And those two cities are two of the core cities in the UK. And between the two of them, they have enterprise zones where they get specific tax breaks for being in those particular places. I'm not exactly sure of the exact comparison with the Isle of Man, but in terms of the enterprise zones themselves, they are a new thing as part of a devolution deal that the UK government's trying to put forward in order to generate growth in these areas. And it's not just Liverpool as well. The Northwest is quite a large area, but demographically it's the third most populated part of the UK. So it's around 7.1 million compared to London, which is 8.5 million. It's nearly comparative in size, but the main areas where people live tend to be clustered around the two main cities, Manchester and Liverpool. And then you've got larger or smaller cities and larger towns such as Preston to the north, Warrington, which sits between Manchester and Liverpool, and Chester, which is over towards the Welsh border. But there's the actual area itself is filled with universities, and there's a government research laboratory that's based there as well that specialises in supercomputing. And these are the types of things that, as the Space Consortium, we think, well, we've got all of these resources and facilities and potential opportunities here, but we don't seem to be taking advantage of them. And that's one of the main reasons that drove us to set up this this group, to try and push forward the agenda of space as an economic driver or potential economic driver for the region.
What's your labor market like? Do you have a skilled labor force? Do you need to bring in foreign labor to work in the space industry? How do you assess that?
No, I mean, we've got, at the moment, especially around Preston and near Chester, we've got one of the largest aerospace hubs in Europe. So we have a lot of skills in advanced manufacturing around the whole of the region. Also, as well, in computing, we have industries in computer game design, high-end computing. So, for example, the University of Liverpool recently won a contract with the European Space Agency to develop theoretical models to study the removal of space debris, or the accrual and removal of space debris, using the supercomputing facilities that are available in the region. We do have the workforce available. In fact, there's a lack of jobs and opportunities. That's the main issue that we have. We have the skills, we just don't have the jobs to fill them.
You have an email question from Joshua, who is in Las Vegas.
Oh, brilliant.
Over here, and he says, I'm curious as to the reception of the people in the area for something in the space industry. Are they knowledgeable about the space industry? Is it just a job to them, and therefore they're supportive of it? Or do they really have an interest in the space industry?
I think people, when you speak to them, see the space industry as the glamorous side of things, so rockets and astronauts. And that's one view that we're trying to stay away from, because it's the space industry is more than that. You've got satellite manufacturing, you've got the satellite applications, and they're the skills that we have, especially in this region. People generally are really interested in space, and now we've got a European astronaut, the first British European astronaut, on the International Space Station with Major Tim Peake. So people are really starting to get excited about space as a concept, but the actual industry itself, I think possibly people see it as space is too expensive to get into, or they don't have the required skills to be able to take part in that particular industry, which isn't necessarily true. We do have the skills to take part in it, especially with things like in the manufacturing sector. and the growth of nanosatellites, you can leverage industrial standardization to take advantage of the building of those components, whereas in the past you'd need high reliability components, which was a very high specification of manufacture compared to what most people would build. So we'd have the skills. It's just trying to educate people that they are able to do this, and trying to bridge that gap between the low levels of expectation and their actual ability. I think that's the biggest hurdle that we face at the moment.
So you're mostly looking for a manufacturing industry, and satellites and electronics have the most promise?
Exactly, yeah, that's right. So we do have a lot of manufacturing businesses in the Northwest and across the north of England as well. North Wales, which is not that far away, they specialise in optics. So there's a real mixture of specialities within the region, or within the locality, really, which it's just, I think it's dying to be grabbed hold of and organised slightly, and propelled towards the growth that I think it can achieve. But it's just to try and explain that to other businesses which wouldn't necessarily consider themselves part of the space industry, but they do actually have those skills.
Do you have any pretty good forecasts for where you want to be in the Northern Consortium in, say, 5 years compared to where you are today?
Not at the moment. I mean, I've got my own personal view as where we can be, but the event we're part of, the reason I'm on today, is on Friday we're having an event in Liverpool to put forward a case study of a similar type of thing that happened in Northern Ireland. So around 5 years ago, the space industry there was worth £500,000, which is very insignificant. But over 5 years, they grew it to £60 million in size. And we'd like to see something similar happen in the Northwest by utilizing the case study that one of our speakers, Rob Hill, from the Northern Ireland Space Office, that he's going to put forward. And part of the reason why we're having this event, and why Art and Buchner are sponsoring this, is to try and put forward the case for space, as the event is called, to the Northwest and to the decision makers in the Northwest, to say, look, you know, we need to organize ourselves in order to take advantage of the growth, the perceived growth in the industry in the years to come.
When is this event called the Case for Space?
It's on Friday, the 18th of March.
So this Friday. So tell us about the event, and how did Art, and since they're not with us, unfortunately, how did they find out about this, or did you contact them and get them as sponsors of the event?
In terms of how we contacted them, it was one of the members of the consortium, Abdul M. Ishmael. He was the one who approached Art and Buchner to see if they would be willing to sponsor the event. And very graciously, they have. We wouldn't have been able to put on the event if we hadn't have had their assistance with this. So it's really, it's a great privilege that they're sponsoring us, and it's fantastic in that sense. I couldn't actually believe when they did sponsor us that we managed to get the sponsorship. However, this is just the start. The event that's coming up is meant to be a call to action to the Northwest, to say, this is what we could achieve. We now need to work together to do it. Some of the speakers that we've got are the likes of Elizabeth Seaman from the UK Space Agency, and she's going to talk about the national picture of where the government believes the growth in the industry is going to come from, and the perceived size of the industry, both globally and nationally, by 2030, and what the government's putting in place in order to achieve that. Rob Hill is going to speak about how he managed to turn around the Northern Ireland space industry to grow it to the level that it is today. And then there's Abdul, who I've just mentioned before. He's going to talk about ways to tap into existing manufacturing markets using industrial standardization for the likes of developing satellite components. And then there's myself, who's going to speak at the end. Also, we've got a panel session with a host of specialists. So we have the chair of the Advanced Manufacturing Forum for the Northwest, Mike Dams. We've got Kate Smith from the University of Manchester, and a few other people on the panel who are there to be able to answer questions that the audience want to throw out. Hopefully as well, we're going to be webcasting the event, so people from around the world should be able to join in and send questions as well, hopefully, so that we can have participation from all over the place.
How many people do you expect to attend?
We're hoping to attract around 70 to 80 people for the event. And at the moment, we're on course to achieve that, which is great. I mean, the other day we had 20 sign-ups in a day, which was, as we get closer to the event, we're starting to see a rapid take-up in the tickets. Bearing in mind that the industry is quite small in the Northwest, it's quite positive that there are quite a lot of people starting to be interested in this as we approach the time of the event. I mean, I put on an event 2 years ago for the space, to try and promote the space industry at the International Festival of Business, which was being held in Liverpool. And I only managed to get around 25 people to turn up, and that included the speakers. It wasn't a great turnout. I was quite disappointed. Whereas this time we seem to be getting a lot more tie-in from key decision makers in the region, so the likes of the local government institutions, as well as the national government research institutions and the government space agency, they're really helping us out to try and push this, which is absolutely fantastic.
You have an email from Jim, who is in Boston, and he said, "What is the history, or why did the space industry get centered in London, or is that an obvious reason because London is the center of everything going on for the most part for the UK? But why did Northern England get sort of left out in the space industry?" Yeah,
that's a really interesting question. It's slightly loaded as well, I imagine. But in actual fact, the Northwest has got quite a lot of space heritage when it comes to the space industry. So there's an organization called the British Interplanetary Society, which is the oldest space advocacy group in the world.
We know about it very well on the show.
Excellent. Well, they started in Liverpool in 1933. Philip Cleeter was the chap who originally started off the organization. And he held his first meeting in an office opposite where the city council now sit. That organization then got moved to London a few years later because it was felt that the people that were down there would be able to progress the organization more fully compared to the group that was up in the Northwest. But we've also had the likes of Blue Streak, which is the intercontinental ballistic missile system. The testing site was in the northwest up in Cumbria, which is, it's not close to Liverpool and Manchester. It's right on the border between England and Scotland. But that was one of the testing facilities for that particular missile system as well. So we did have the heritage here, but as the previous governments and political decisions have gone against us, the industry's kind of receded from the north and moved towards or clustered around the south and the southeast. And I think the UK government's now started to see that that is not the greatest thing, because in order for the industry to grow to the size that it believes that it can achieve, the existing businesses won't be able to achieve that growth. They have to grow industries around the rest of the country in order to develop and basically take that slice, that 10% slice of the global market by 2030. And I think that's why we're starting to see now a really encouraging push from the likes of the UK Space Agency and central government to develop more industries around the country, not just in the northwest. You've got the northeast as well, which is doing absolutely fantastic with satellite applications. Scotland is doing extremely well in the likes of Glasgow and Edinburgh. You've got the likes of Spire and Astrosat, and there's another company who's Pocket Cube shop. They're based in Glasgow as well. Wales has just launched its own national space strategy from the Welsh government, and the South West, so around Cornwall and Newquay, they're in the process of trying to push forward to have a launch facility, a spaceport for the UK based down there as well. So there are opportunities now around the rest of the UK and Northern Ireland and the Isle of Man as well to take advantage of this growth. It's been a long time coming, but it's now we're at the precipice, if you will, of the beginning of that journey. And that's why I honestly think that the Northwest would be daft not to take advantage of this opportunity at this moment, because if we do, it's an opportunity that will pass us by, and that's something I'm keen to avoid.
One of the things we talk about a lot over here on this side of the pond is encouraging and inspiring students in the younger grade levels as well as in college to study the science and the math and the engineering and the technical subjects, including space, you know, for a kind of a better future. So is we call it STEM. Is that a goal for your educational area too? You want to get more science, technology, engineering, and math students?
We call it STEM as well, and exactly the same as you. We really want to see more kids get involved in science, technology, engineering, and maths as well. I think really the way all of the future industries are going to move revolves around those four key subjects. It would be really, really silly if we didn't push STEM to kids, not in a pushy kind of way, but trying to encourage them to get involved in that enjoyment of science, even just for the sake of learning. We'd never have half the developments we've had in the past without that love of learning, and I think that's key to trying to grow both the industry as it is at the moment, but also to bring on children to say, you know, this is an industry that's worth looking at, this is something that's fun, it's really interesting, why don't you get involved in it? And it doesn't have to be expensive to get involved in, but it's trying to, again, it's an education process. And I think that needs to be underpinned both in the educational sector as well as the business sector and politically as well. We need to try and, through those three themes, push the agenda of space in order to maximize the opportunities that could potentially happen in this area or in this field.
Connie is in Seattle, Washington, with a question, and she says, I'm curious, since the UK is part of the European Space Agency, do you get any support, any guidelines, any activity at all related to ESA with your activities?
With what we're doing at the NSC? Not so much guidelines. I mean, ESA is the overall framework that all of the local or the national governments feed into. And it's left up to national governments to decide how they want to organise their industries. And I think in Europe, a lot of the space industry is based around France, Germany, the UK, Italy and Spain. Whereas there are others, the likes of the Netherlands and I think Belgium, they also have sizable industries, but the majority of the workers are based in those other countries that I mentioned. But it's down to the national governments really to define how they want to shape their industries. Now, there are European Space Agency facilities in the UK, but they tend to be clustered around certain areas. So there's a the main space cluster in the UK is in Harwell, which is near Oxford, not far from London, and that's where the main European office is. But we also have a European centre or facility at the research laboratory just down the road from here in a place called Dursbury, which is between Manchester and Liverpool. And that's where the intellectual property for the European Space Agency is stored. So we do have facilities, but again, it's trying to tap into those resources or trying to publicise those resources to people or businesses around the region to say, look, you know, you can go here, you can try and figure out what your next business opportunity is going to be by using the IP that's available and that the European Space Agency wants us to use. But in terms of guidance, we've not had any guidance. This is very much a very early stage organisation. So we are, I'm not trying to say we're making it up as we go along, but we want to try and include as many people and get as many points of view as possible from both regionally and nationally and also from a European perspective as well in order to try and grow this industry here in the Northwest. And that's primarily what the event on Friday is about. We want to try and make contact with people to say, why don't you join us? Tell us what you think. Tell us where you believe the issues lay or lie that would prevent us from growing this industry. And together we can work out how we're going to solve it.
Buckner and Art planning to be there and speak at the conference or at the event?
I believe Buckner is. I'm not sure about Art. I think he may not be able to make the event on Friday, but certainly Buckner is coming over from Texas to speak at the event. Which is absolutely amazing. To have someone of his stature to come along and speak is fantastic.
Are you sort of acting, your agency is sort of like a chamber of commerce for developing the space industry. Is that sort of a fair way of looking at it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a really good way of describing it.
And is there any human spaceflight activity that you're thinking about? Is that further down the road or everything you're doing is in support of the satellite electronics and manufacturing, so human spaceflight isn't there yet?
No, I think we're going to take baby steps first and start with the resources and facilities that we've got available. So we don't have the capabilities at the moment for the human spaceflight side of things. If we did, that would be much, much further down the line, and it would be part of the national agenda rather than a regional one. But for now, from a regional perspective, we're just going to concentrate on developing the existing infrastructure that we have and the existing skill set that we have in the region and push those to try and maximize the growth as quickly as possible in that sense.
Randy is in San Antonio, Texas, and he says, is there any launch industry in your area that you're thinking about, or is there any launch industry in the United Kingdom?
At the moment, there's no launch facility as such, but that is something that's being worked on. In fact, that's, in a way, that's kind of how the Northern Space Consortium started in a roundabout kind of way. The group of people that the core board, we got together a few years ago when the UK government was saying that they're interested in promoting or in developing a UK spaceport. And we put forward Liverpool Airport as a possible place to launch from because of the way that the airport's located on an estuary. It sits on a peninsula. It's got great transport links. It's got great access to research facilities, universities, industrial facilities to build close by, and there's a great big giant area where they can develop a business park close to the airport as well. But we were told that due to the airspace restrictions in place, because it's quite a busy area in the UK for airspace activity, that was why the UK Space Agency wouldn't find it to be a suitable site. However, there are other sites around the UK that are being shortlisted at the moment for a spaceport, or at least a suborbital launch platform. So the likes of in Scotland, I believe that's where the majority of the sites that have been shortlisted are located. But you've also got a site in Wales and a site in Newquay in the southwest. So there is a hope that we will have a spaceport, I believe, by 2020, although I could be wrong by that date. But there is ongoing development in building a spaceport facility for the UK.
You have a caller on hold. Let's see who our caller is. Good afternoon, caller. Welcome to the Space Show. Your name, please?
Art Dula. I'm in Houston, Texas.
Hi, Art. Thank you for calling in. I apologize for the phone glitch earlier when we were starting. How did you come about sponsoring their efforts in Liverpool?
Well, first of all, the Heinlein Prize Trust is very interested in Northern England because we see it as an area that has a lot of precision manufacturing, and a lot of very good education, but it doesn't really have a lot of involvement with space or commercial space right now. And our trust is dedicated to encouraging the development of commercial space. As for the company sponsorship, it's because being an Isle of Man company, we naturally feel a certain alignment with Northern England.
And are you planning to be over there for their event on Friday, or will you not be able to make that?
Unfortunately, I cannot be there. I was down at a UN conference in Costa Rica, and my passport got torn up. So I can't leave till I get a new passport. But Buckner Hightower, who's a trustee of the trust and a director of the company, will be at it, and he'll be able to handle all of the interaction with the public and the politicians. We are bringing a British spacesuit. One that belonged to Michael Fox. He flew into space.
Do you see a great industrial potential for space in the northern part of England for this area? Will it be competitive with the south and around London, or would it surpass it?
I think it could be. And the reason is that there is a tradition of very fine manufacturing in northern England. And although that hasn't been directed towards space, it's exactly the kind of quality work that you need for both unmanned and manned spaceflight. The cost of going to space is going to decline at least 90% and perhaps more in the next few years. So we're going to see quite an expansion of the market.
And you think the UK and this Northern Consortium is well positioned to capitalize on that? Obviously, you believe that, right?
Well, yes, that's why we're helping to hold the conference. The main difficulty now is getting knowledge out of what is going to happen. We just finished at the International Academy of Astronautics, a four-year study on space mineral resources, and it's quite an eye-opener. It actually could be a practical way to deliver material to the Earth, and certainly that would be quite a change.
So this is really an area that is well-positioned without a lot of heavy old infrastructure, so it's well-positioned for the new that is coming up. That's what I'm seeing, because there's no saddling to old infrastructure and high costs from that old infrastructure.
Well, there are really two things that make it very attractive to startup companies that are entrepreneurial and innovative. One is, as you say, they don't have to replace any of the rusting equipment and fight that. The other thing is that there's a very strong educational infrastructure. And a good educational infrastructure together with an industrial base that has the a certain amount of experience and kind of the gray hairs that know how to build things that actually work, that's a good combination. That's kind of what we had in Florida to build up the new industrial facilities there, and out in California and Seattle, where they're busy building really completely new technology.
Chris, do you have anything for Art that you want to talk about or ask or bring into the conversation?
Well, I'd just like to express my thanks for sponsoring the event and being patrons for it. It's fantastic that you've taken note of the work that we're doing and believe in us enough to support the event. So thank you on behalf of the Space Consortium in the Northwest. It's fantastic. From my point of view, where do you see the industry or the main growth in the industry? Where do you believe it's going to come from in the next 5 to 10 years?
I believe that we will see a very large number of new entrants launching research satellites that can use the properties of space, like microgravity and solar energy and vacuum, to make new materials. For example, there's a kind of metal glass that is as strong as metal, but is light and transparent as glass, and it also has the characteristics of glass from a structural standpoint. There are, of course, biological things. There's almost an infinite amount of biological research to be done, particularly in the area of generating T cells. If you can grow T cells, they show great promise in treating cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I may, I'd like to invite your listeners, anyone who wants to see one of our spacecraft, there's one on display at the Sherby Transport Museum on the Isle of Man. So if you fancy a little trip across the Irish Sea, you can see an actual spacecraft that is a flight unit.
Okay. Do you, Art, have a sense of how space industry and development is viewed, not just in the northern area, but in the UK as well? Is it looked at as a really growth-oriented, must-have kind of great industry to go into?
There have been a number of studies done. I believe there was one put out about a year ago by Cambridge that certainly establishes that it's not going to be a growth industry. It already is a growth industry that's growing more rapidly than many other traditional industries.
I'd definitely agree with that as well.
The UK is just part of a planetary system of research and development that is coming before the production and use of this equipment in ordinary life. But the UK is very well positioned to be a leader in that. And Northern England, because it has not done it in the past, has an opportunity to both be entrepreneurial and innovative.
What were you going to say, Chris?
Oh, no, I was just going to agree with Art about that particular aspect of the growth within the UK. So one thing that caught my attention, which is why I started to get into, well, not just because of this, but one thing that did catch my attention was how quickly the space industry in the UK has been growing over the last decade, really. Even during the recession, it was one of the few industries in the UK that wasn't hit by the global financial crisis. It continued to grow, I believe it was between 5 and 7%, and has done since. So given that there is this growth there, it would be incumbent on us to take advantage of that while we can, before the industry gets too big, that it's not possible to grow in that same expedited way that we believe that the North can.
Art, one of the things, as you know, that's a hot topic here is public-private partnerships. Is that a structure that works in the UK and would be suitable for this northern development area?
Well, to answer the first part of your question, the answer is an unqualified yes, it does. And the example is a Reaction Motor, the outfit that's building that space plane. It's a good example of a government-private partnership. But they don't have to be that big. They don't have to be tens of millions of pounds. They can be much smaller than that and still start up very well. There's a study that came out in January of this year by the TARI group called Startup Space. The subtitle's Rising Investment in Commercial Space Ventures. And it makes the point that in the past year, more money privately has been invested in space startups than in the past 15 years. Now, admittedly, most of this data comes from the United States, but the model of how things are changing is equally valid for the UK.
Interesting. Chris, do you have a board? Do you have a group that works with you to develop this industry, or are you pretty much a one-man show? What is your structure?
Oh, no, I'm not a one-man show. There's a group of six of us that work together on this particular project. So there's myself, who's the chair, and then underpinning that is an environmental consultant who uses satellite data in his day-to-day work. There's a space enthusiast who's just keen to ensure that the industry grows in the Northwest as myself wants to see it. There's Abdul Amishmal, who's a rocket propulsion engineer. There's also a chap called Robert Morris, who used to work in the satellite industry many years ago. He's since retired, but he lives up in the Northwest at the moment, and when we started up, he wanted to be a part of that. And plus there's a few other people who, and a few other companies who have an interest in our group, want to, or have pledged their support, to helping us, start up. So there's a few different companies like, TechX UK, there's the Earth Observation Systems, who are currently based in California, but they have an ambition to move their operations to Liverpool because that's where the founder of that organization originally comes from. So, yeah, there's a good grounding of people and different experiences and skill sets within our group to try and take this organization forward.
Do you both see competition arising from other countries and other parts of Europe that want to get in on the space industrial development activity? Is that a possibility, and is that happening in other parts of Europe as well?
I think, if you don't mind, from my perspective, I don't see it as competition would be the biggest threat. Really, what we want to do is to try and collaborate and cooperate with other emerging industries around the world, because ultimately we can help sell to them and they can sell to us and grow the industry in that sense, as well as providing services, new services to other terrestrial providers and things like that. But I don't think it would be necessarily be a conflict with other developing areas. It would very much so be a cooperation and a collaboration in order to help grow them as much as they help to grow us.
Art, do you see this industry growing in other parts of Europe as well?
Well, I would make the observation that a rising tide floats all ships. And we're in the position of building the Navy, and the tide is rising. I just got back from a UN human spaceflight conference in Costa Rica, where I found out that there are not only people starting in Europe, but there are companies in Ecuador that are exporting equipment, aerospace equipment, to the United States. And I completely agree that if the resources and the opportunity are infinite, that cooperation benefits everybody. And we literally are entering an age of infinite possibilities. I would make the final point that the group that has gotten together in Northern England is larger than Microsoft when it started, or Apple when it started. So I think there's an enormous potential there.
Larger than Microsoft when it started. That's pretty amazing.
Microsoft when it started was a couple of guys, and they didn't have an office. The first contract with IBM was signed on Bill Gates' mother's kitchen table.
And as they say, the rest is history, right?
Even the great industrial combines of the last century, like, well, for example, the biggest oil company in the United States, Standard Oil, it was started by three people around a campfire that had a dream about the future. At the time, it was thought to be insane to drill into the ground to get oil. Oil came from whales.
Do you feel that you're competing, Chris, with London in that area, or is that full cooperation with the development in your area?
Oh, no, I think Arthur's right. As you said, a rising tide raises all ships. If the space industry in London is growing, then that offers opportunities to the rest of the UK to supply into it, and also into Europe and the rest of the world. I look at this as very much a collaborative industry. All together, we all need to work together. There's no way that you can sit in isolation. It just wouldn't work. So it really, if London does well, I'm happy for it. If the Southeast does well, I'm happy for them. But what I want to make sure is that the North and the Northwest takes advantage of the opportunity before it's too late.
Art, do you see this current trend in space being at risk because of global economic challenges that we are hearing about all the time in the news and reading about in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere? Or do you think it's got a lot of resilience to it in the space part of the economy?
Well, of course, that is a strategic question that goes a little bit beyond Northern England. But,
right.
The way our analysts see it, and I will tell you we've looked at that, we believe that this is the beginning of a new long-term capital investment cycle. We're seeing the investment rise exponentially. And I'm a patent attorney. I don't know if you knew that. I'm an intellectual property attorney. And I can tell you that some of the inventions that are coming through the pipeline now are absolutely going to blow your socks off. They're paradigm shifting. They're disruptive. I'll give you one example. There is a technique that's been invented and is now being developed by a person who was a professor at Caltech for mining asteroids without actually touching them. So you don't have to touch them. You can still get out the valuable material.
That's amazing.
And that's being heavily supported by NASA at this point. I believe that the educational and intellectual resources in Northern England are its strongest argument for being successful in this area, and I would urge the institutions there to take advantage of that and try to set up ways to get this entrepreneurial, innovative activity fostered. The real thing here is invention. We're not going... It is not your father's space program anymore.
So there's an enormous amount of entrepreneurism and ingenuity and creativity going on across the United States and in various pockets of high-tech development. Chris, is there any effort down the road to relate the what's going on over here to what may happen in your northern part of the UK and maybe have some kind of joint sponsorship of events or something of that nature?
Oh, I think it's already starting to happen. I know one of the institutions here, the University of Central Lancashire, already have a long-term partnership with NASA. So they worked with them on the Solar Dynamics Observatory and the high-resolution coronal imager. So that we do already have the links established, but I think it's capitalizing on that. And certainly I think the rest of the Northwest can certainly take advantage of any kind of growth in the U.S., in the future. We're a very entrepreneurial part of the country. It's in our blood. It's what we've always done. It's part of the seat of the Industrial Revolution from over 100 years ago. And every day I walk around in the city centre, there are buildings there that reflect the industrial might that used to happen. So it's a constant reminder to me, at least, that you know the city and the region has heritage in this entrepreneurial sense. And yeah, I think that if the US is growing entrepreneurially in this sector, the UK certainly will be able to help build with the US on that growth.
This is all really fascinating, and Chris, we're at the hour point for what you wanted to do. I know it's getting late for you. Do you have anything you would like to add that we have omitted or forgotten to ask you or that you would like to tell us? And then also the same for you, Art.
Just again, I'd like to thank Art and Buckner and the Heinlein Prize Trust and Excalibur Alners for sponsoring our event on Friday. It's very gracious of you to do so. And this is just the start of hopefully a long-term relationship, not just with the two companies sponsoring us, but with the rest of the space industry. We're very much looking forward to helping to grow the industry in this region. And if anyone would like to support us in any way, then you know it would be very welcomed.
Art, do you have any additional information you'd like to share with us or something I should have asked you but have not?
Well, I'd like to make one point, and it's an economic point. If you build automobiles, you add a few pounds per kilogram of value to the raw material. And if you make integrated circuits, you might add a 100 pounds, a few hundred pounds. If you build satellites, you can add thousands of pounds of value to each kilogram of raw material, and that is very directly affected by inventiveness and entrepreneurship. There are going to be new ways to finance these things. And Mr. Heinlein said that there is no such thing as magic. And Arthur C. Clarke said it too, that any sufficiently advanced technology isn't going to be believed before it's invented. and it will be roundly denounced once it is invented, and then it will be adopted. Right now, I'm sitting in North America, and I'm talking to you on something the size of a, I don't know, it's a BlackBerry cellular telephone. How impossible would that have been a while back, and how insane would somebody have been to propose that it could happen? The future is going to be stranger than we know.
It already, in many ways, is stranger than we know. So, there's an article where there's going to be 30 automatic driverless cars on the roads in Northern California coming up. So, I don't know if you've seen a driverless car, but that's pretty weird. So, technology is moving forward. There's no doubt about that.
I'll make a prediction.
Yes.
Most of the people who are hearing this broadcast will live to be able to go into space as they now go to another continent. The amount of energy required is roughly the same. And the systems, once they're reusable and reliable, should not be more complex and expensive than a jet airliner.
Well, I'm turning 70, so I hope you're including me in that.
Well, do you fly on airplanes?
I fly on airplanes, but I don't know how fast the future is going to progress along those lines.
The nice thing is the future is exponential, so you don't see it coming until it jumps right out at you.
Well, I'll remember that. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for being here. And again, Art, I apologize for the phone glitch earlier on and the fact that we couldn't get Buckner on, but thank you for calling in on the toll-free line. And Chris, will you keep us abreast and let us know how your event goes and how your program goes? We're interested in following you, okay?
Yes, certainly. I'd be more than happy to let you know. And maybe in a few months' time, I can come back and maybe give you an update as to how we've gone.
Absolutely. I would look forward to that.
Remember to come over and see our spaceship at Jorby on the Isle of Man. It's free.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
I'm definitely going to do that. I was planning on going over to the Isle of Man anyway.
Art, again, thank you very much for calling in and joining us. We appreciate it very much.
And thank you for the courtesy of allowing me to appear on your program.
Okay, and listeners, that is it for today. And please check back for our program tomorrow evening. You can find out all about it on the spaceshow.com website in the website newsletter and the upcoming shows on the right-hand side. And again, special thanks to Chris and to Art Dula for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
And everybody have a great week. Goodbye from the Space Show.